I just want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. You know what? I want to say to you, some of you might say, you know what, I don't have kids of my own, but you are mothering someone. Some of us here might not have our own kids, but we are mothering someone. And I was thinking this morning, I was thinking one of the people who actually encourages me, mothers me in her own way, is one of my pastors from back home, Pastor Thanks. And you know, about 4 years ago, she actually came to South Africa, and we are no longer in the same church, but she actually came to visit me. And I was thinking about it this morning, and I was like, wow, you know what? She didn't just say, you know what, Fadzi's far away, she's no longer with me. She actually came, and she visited me, and I actually call her Pastor Ma. So in saying pastor, but you're also my mother, Pastor Ma. So I think there are so many people out there who look after us as mothers. And so we want to appreciate anyone who plays a motherly role in our lives. And so I say Happy Mother's Day to you. And so before maybe I say a lot, maybe let me just pray for the word this morning. Father, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for the time you have given me to minister the word. I thank you that your word would encourage someone today. Lord, we thank you that your word is life. Your word brings hope, and we thank you for your word that it will bring light to us, oh God, each and every one of us. No one will feel left behind as the word of God is preached, but every single person will feel that they have obtained something from the message today. Thank you that you will use me, oh Lord, to minister your truth, Lord. Not my will, oh Lord, but let your will be done this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the title of my message this morning is called God Can Use You. And since it's Mother's Day, it's going to speak a lot to mothers. But it's not only going to speak to mothers today. It's also going to speak to us all this morning. And so I want to say again, mothers, you are so important. You play a crucial role in the lives of your children. Whoever you are mothering, there's something that you are depositing in their lives. And I was looking at, I was thinking about someone, a story I had a few weeks ago. I went to the salon and someone was doing my hair, started telling me a story. And she said she has got 6 children. And then I was like, wow, that's 6 children. And she says, yes, I've raised up 6 children, and the last born, I think, is in grade 11. And I said, wow, that's a lot of kids. And then what actually struck me the most is when she started talking and she said, you know what, there's a year I worked in the salons 365 days because I wanted my children to go to university. And her children are not at ordinary universities. They are like at you know, Edufos or Emeris, one of the two. And she was telling me she's got 2 there now, actually 3 who are in university, and then 1 who's also in China as well. And I was like, how do you do it, Ma? And she was like, you know what? I work. I told myself that my children are my responsibility, and I'm going to work for them. She's married, but she said, my husband was even saying to me, you know what, we should leave these kids. It's too much, the school kids. But she said, you know what, I made a decision. And I said, no, I'm not going to let my children sit at home and not go to school. I'm going to work. If it means I work 365 days of the year for my children, I will do so. So for me, I was like, you know what, Ma? I was complaining about my school fees, like I've got 2 kids. But what you have said, you know what, has made me think that, you know what, I cannot give up. I cannot give up on my own children because of what you have just said. So I want to encourage you mothers to say, don't give up on what you do. The sacrifices you do for your kids, don't ever give up. Even you fathers, we know you play a role. You are sacrificing for your kids. I pray that no parent in this place will give up on their kids. But you work hard to say, you know what, no matter what, I work hard. And even my mother, when I was in university, It was a difficult time in Zimbabwe. She worked hard. She was left with no salary. And she would send money to me in Grahamstown. You know, that's time of hyperinflation. She was left with nothing so that I got an education. So I believe that as mothers, we need to go the extra mile to do what we can so that our children can get the best out of life. So you are doing a great job, but I want to challenge you this morning. So today is also a message to encourage and challenge us to say, let's go to the next level of being parents, of being mothers. Let's not just say, you know what, I've arrived. There's much more we can do. Amen. Amen. So I want to say to you today that motherhood is a spirit. So some of you might say, but you know what, I've just got kids and it's just natural and I go on. And why do I say that? The reason I say that is that not every mother is there for their children. Some mothers can provide financially, but emotionally, maybe are not there for your children. Some mothers have chosen to abandon their children, to say, you know what, you can stay with someone else. I don't need you. You are disturbing my life. Haven't you heard about that? That my mom left me because she thought, you know what, she couldn't be free. She couldn't live her life because we were there. But I want to say to you that motherhood is a spirit, and we need to cry out as mothers and say, Lord, help me to be a good mother. Help me to go to my next level in mothering. And we see that in scripture. If you read Isaiah 49 verse 15, it says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. So I want to say that this scripture is actually saying that mothers don't usually forget their children. But if they do forget their children, God will never forget you. And I want to encourage you to say, those of us who have suffered pain because their mothers have not been there for them, or you lost your mom early on, you don't have your mother anymore, I want you to know that no matter what you are facing, God will never forget you. God is always on your side. So you might be feeling today, because everyone is celebrating, everyone is posting, but my mom is not there. I want to encourage you that God will not forget you. Today, this Mother's Day is going to be 10 years since my mom went to be with the Lord. But what I remember is the teachings she taught me, the word of God she taught me. And so I want to encourage you to say, no matter at what stage you lost your mom, remember that God will never forget you as well. So I want you to know that God wants us to move away just from mothering our own children to mothering other children. So that's where God wants to take us as mothers. Because today we are living in a selfish society where people just think about themselves. Me, myself, and my two kids. That's it. But God has placed some children into your life for a purpose, so that you would influence them. You might be a Go Kids teacher, for example. Don't take that lightly, because those children, God has placed them in your hands so that you can teach them the word of God. Some children don't have mothers, but when they come to church, they feel the love and the warmth from you. In your neighborhood, you know someone who has lost their mom. Are you there for them? Do you care for them? Do you pray for that child? If you hear that someone's child is into drugs and is now wayward, do you actually just say, oh, is it? And then you just leave it at that. Or are you really concerned, and do you actually pray for that child? So as mothers, we need to move from that. And even all of us who are fathers and brothers and sisters, I want you to say, move from a place of just thinking about yourself and move to a place of thinking about others. So today I want to share from the book of Judges. So I'm going to just have a background of the book of Judges. So I don't want fathers and I don't want my brothers to be left behind this morning, because we are also going to talk about someone called Shamgar, who was a man. And we're going to learn from that guy. And we're also going to talk about Jael and Deborah, who are two women who we find in the book of Judges. So the book of Judges, for some of you, you might be wondering, why was that book given the name of Judges? It was given that name because there were about 12 leaders who were used by God to bring stability to the Israelites during different times. So some of them were there for 40 years, some for 20 years, some for 80 years. I think I read one judge who was there for 80 years. And they were there to stabilize Israel because Israel did not have a king. Israel did not have a leader. So it was just, there was a leadership vacuum. So Judges is after, I think, Joshua. And after that time, Joshua had died. And when Joshua died, even before he had died, Israel had started falling into a pattern of sin and following other gods. And so in the book of Judges, like when this story is taking place is when Joshua had died and Israel did not have a king. So people in that time did what they wanted. People were doing all sorts of things during that time. So if you read Judges 21 verse 25, it says, in those days Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. So people did what they thought was right. And I think that also shows the importance of godly leadership, that we actually need leaders who teach us the truth and who lead us in the way. Otherwise, sometimes we can become wayward and do what we want as people. And then if we read Judges chapter 2 from verse 11 to 23, it's a bit of a long reading, and I hope you can see clearly. And it says, and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the God of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them and provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies, so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they warred after other gods and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back, and they were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he said, because these people have transgressed my covenant that I command their fathers and have not obeyed my voice, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations that Joshua left when he died. So you see, they were in a cycle of sin. Because once a judge died, they went back into a pattern of sin. And that is what the pattern was in Judges. And the people would then cry to the Lord, and maybe the Lord would then send another judge, and then they would be delivered. So it was a cycle. That is why we see there was one judge, Ehud, maybe, who was there for 8 years. Deborah, the one we know as ladies, 40. Gideon was a judge for 40 years. And Samson was there for 20 years. So I want then to move to the crux of the matter. My title, I think I've said it, is God Can Use You. So God can use you, and he wants to use you. Each and every one of us, God wants to use us. And so if we read from Judges chapter 5, verse 6 to 7, it says, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned, and travelers kept to the byways. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. Amen. So here we're going to really dissect this portion of scriptures. So you'll see from time to time when I go through the sermon, I will be referring back. We'll read it again to understand this this verse. So from the verse, we hear that in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, and you might be asking, who was Shamgar, son of Anath? So Shamgar was the third judge. So Deborah was the fourth judge. So before Deborah, there was a judge, and he was called Shamgar. And he was most likely a son of a Canaanite warrior. So he was not an Israelite, but God appointed him to be a judge. And so that is where I was saying no one is going to be left behind this morning. It was a man, a judge called Shamgar in this time. And if you read Judges chapter 3, verse 31, it says, after Ehud, Shamgar, son of Anath, rescued Israel. He once killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. So here we can see that this man called, or this judge called Shamgar, killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. And I like what our pastor usually says. He says, go slowly through the corridors of scripture so that you actually understand what does this really mean. Because you can read this and just pass by and say, okay, it was 600 Philistines with an ox goad. But let's go and say, what is an ox goad? So this ox goad was like, in the past, in the olden days, they used to use, it was a long stick. And at the end of the long stick was a flat piece of iron on one side, which was sharp. And it was, I think, a flat piece of iron on one side and a sharp piece of iron on the other. So the sharp point of that ox goad was used to drive the oxen during plowing times. So when they were plowing in their whatever, I think there's that photo. I don't know if you can see clearly, like, when they are plowing, it was used to direct the oxen. And imagine someone killing 600 people, 600 warriors. We're not just talking about ordinary people. 600 warriors of the Philistines were killed by Shamgar with that ox goad. Imagine that. That was a powerful, that was a great feat, a great thing that he did. And why did I bring Shamgar into the story to say, what is the significance of that? And I want to say to you that Shamgar actually brought deliverance to Israel. Because if you read that verse, it actually says, after Ehud, Shamgar, son of Anath, rescued Israel. So he actually rescued Israel by killing these 600 Philistines. And I want to say to you this morning, God can use unexpected people and circumstances to change your situation. Why do I say that? God used Shamgar, a person who was not an Israelite, an unexpected person. God used an unexpected tool to actually defeat the Philistines. And I want to say to you today, that God can use different things to change your situation. You might be having wayward children. Your children have gone off the rails. They don't want to hear anything about God. God can use different people. God can use different circumstances to change that situation. The academics of your children are not going well. God can change that situation. Your marriage is difficult. Things are not looking good. But God can use different circumstances and people to change your situation. But today, that message as well is God can use you. And I want to say to you, Don't look down upon yourself to say, who am I? God can also use you. Because here, God used Shamgar, a non-Israelite. God used Shamgar just with an ox god to tear down the Philistines. And I want to say to you, by the standards of people, you don't qualify, but God can use you. God can use you to bring change in your family. People don't listen to you because maybe they say, ah, you are just a mother. They don't respect mothers in your family. But I want to say to you, your prayers are powerful. What you speak in your room and what you pray loud to the Lord, God hears those prayers and he will answer you. Amen. So let's go back. We are reading, we continue, and go back to Judges chapter 5, verse 6 to 7. So it says, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Shael, the highways were abandoned and travelers kept to the byways. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. And then we move on and say, who was Shael? We heard that in this scripture, it says, in the days of Shael, the highways were abandoned and travelers kept to the byways. So if you read Judges 4, verse 17, it gives us a picture of who Shael was. And it says, meanwhile, Sisera ran to the tent of Shael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because Heber's family was on friendly terms with King Jabin of Hazor. So what we know from this scripture is that Shael was the wife of Heber the Kenite. Heber the Kenite. And you can say, okay, who were the Kenites? The Kenites were descendants of Jethro. And you know Jethro was the father-in-law of Moses. So this tribe, actually the Kenites, were in good relations with Israel. They were at peace with Israel. So this tribe, the Kenites, were what we call nomads, and they lived in tents. So they actually had a humble lifestyle, but they related very well to the Israelites. And so we see that here, that is who Shael was. So when you read, I think in the book of Judges chapter 4, you hear the story of Sisera, who had escaped. So his army, if you read the story, we are going to go into that story later. When Deborah and Barak went, they fought the Canaanites. And when they fought the Canaanites, there were 10,000 warriors of the Canaanites who were actually defeated, I think. And when they were defeated, Sisera, who was the commander of the Canaanites, started running away. And Sisera, who was the commander of the Canaanite armies, had actually oppressed the Israelites for more than 20 years. So we are not talking of just an ordinary commander. We are talking about a strong commander. Because if someone has suppressed you for 20 years, you know that they are strong. It's not an ordinary person. We can think about dictators, you know, who have been there for 50 years or 46 years or whatever years they have been there. And we know that it's tough to be under such rulership. And I'm sure the children of Israel had actually given up hope to actually say, are we ever going to be free from the Canaanites? And you need to know that the king of the Canaanites was also called Jabin. And then his commander was called Sisera. So if you read Judges chapter 4 from verse 15 to 24, it also talks about, what took place in terms of that battle. And it says, when Barak attacked the Lord through Sisera and all his chariots and warriors into a panic, Sisera leaped down from his chariot and escaped on foot. Then Barak chased the chariots and the enemy army all the way to Harosheth Hagoyim, killing all of Sisera's warriors. Not a single one was left alive. Meanwhile, Sisera ran to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because Heber's family was on friendly terms with King Jabin of Hazo. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come into my tent, say, come in, don't be afraid." So he went into her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. "Please give me some water," he said, "I'm thirsty." So she gave him some milk from a leather bag and covered him again. "Stand at the door of the tent," he told her. "If anybody comes and asks you if there's anyone here, say no." But when Sisera fell asleep from exhaustion, Jael quietly crept up to him with a hammer and tent peg in her hand. Then she drove the tent peg through his temple and into the ground. And so he died. I'm going to just read up to there. So you can see that Jael, we said, was, we only know she was the wife of Heber, the Kenite. So we might say that Jael was most likely a housewife. Maybe. Just an ordinary housewife looking after her husband. And if we are not told whether she had kids, but most likely she also had kids, and that is what she was doing. But God used her powerfully to defeat the enemy. And if you read again, I think in Judges chapter 4, verse 9, Deborah actually prophesied when she was talking to Barak and said, "A woman will get the victory." And it was a prophetic word talking about Jael. So God used what we might call an ordinary mother or an ordinary wife to defeat the enemy. Because if you read further, I think it says, when the Canaanites were defeated, it was also the time Israel started to experience peace. And so I want to encourage you to say, no matter what you think you are, you can make a difference. You might not be physically driving a tent peg into the enemy, but your prayers are driving a tent peg into the enemy. So don't despise yourself and say, you know what, I'm just an ordinary mother. What can I achieve? What can happen to my kids? But I want you to stand in the gap. I want you to pray for your kids. I want you to speak the word of God into your kids until they become what God wants them to be. Amen. And if you, what is also so special about this woman, Jael, if you read Judges 5, verse 24, it says, "Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. May she be blessed above all women who live in tents." You see, this was a song that Deborah and Barak were singing, and she was praised in that song. And the only other woman in the Bible who was blessed like this was Mary. And when Elizabeth was blessing Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 42, let me read for you, because maybe just to, I don't have that scripture on the screen, but I want to read it as well. It says, "Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, 'God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed.'" Amen. So there are only two women in the Bible where you see such powerful words being said about them. And I want to say to you, I want to ask you today, can God say to you today, you are most blessed among women. You are most blessed among men because of what you do. Because of the battles you fight in the spirit, even for your children to become a success. Amen. So I want you to say, your circumstances should not define who you are and what you can do for the Lord. No one should say, you know what, I'm just ordinary. You can do great things for the Lord. So, Judges 4 verse 9, just to emphasize what God did, how the prophetic word I was talking about. It says, "Very well," she replied, "I will go with you." That was Deborah. "But you will receive no honor in this venture, for the Lord's victory over Sisera will be at the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. Amen. So now we are going to the last person. So we've talked about Shamgar, who was the third judge. We've talked about Jael, and now we talk about Deborah. So Deborah was the fourth judge and the only woman judge. And I think that is a significant thing, and it is a unique situation. And I wanted to just say, it's the same today. We've got women who are in places of leadership and authority in the marketplace. And you might be saying, you know what, I'm different. But God also wants to use you. Where you have gone up the ladder, where you are a leader, maybe in the workplace, there God wants to use you as well. And it says, when Deborah was the judge of Israel, it was a time after Ehud, the third judge, had died. And so the Israelites again continued to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And this is when the Lord had sold them over to the king of Canaan, who was known as Jabin. And we read about Jabin when we're talking about Jael. And in Judges 5, verse 6 to 7, again, we are going back to the scripture. It says, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned and travelers kept to the byways. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be. Until I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. So you see, the time Deborah was called, it was a difficult time. We hear that the highways were abandoned and the travelers kept to the byways. It was such a turbulent time in Israel. And the reason why, I think the scripture says the highways were abandoned and the travelers kept to the byways, was that people were so scared because of the enemy. And they would not keep away from the main roads and say, you know what, it's dangerous. We are not going this way. Rather, we need to keep away because we don't want to be caught up with bandits and people who try to kill us. It's almost like some places in South Africa where we say, you know what, we don't travel at night because we know this road. If you travel, you'll be hijacked. So it was almost the same situation where people were afraid of the dangers. So people's normal ways of life ceased because it says villagers ceased in Israel. The life was disrupted. And I don't think there's any leader who wants to take up office when it's turbulent times. I don't think you want to do that. I think we prefer to be leaders when things are good. But this is the time that Deborah was raised up as a leader in Israel. And I want to say to someone, to you today, God might be calling you in a difficult season of your life to do something great for him. As a mother, God might be calling you in a difficult season of your children's life to be a mother, to take up a leadership position as a mother in your family and make a difference in your family. And to you fathers as well, God is raising you up in a difficult time in your families to make a difference. Things might be hard, but I want you to persevere and take up that leadership role. And so what is the significance of Deborah rising as a mother in Israel? What are we able to learn from her? So we are not really told from the story whether Deborah had children of her own. We know that she was a wife. I think they say she was the wife of, I forgot the husband's name, but she was a wife and she was a prophetess. We know that. We know that she was a judge. So first of all, I think when they are saying a mother in Israel, it shows that she had a position of honor and respect in Israel. And I want to ask you, as a mother, do you have a place of honor and respect amongst the children that you are raising up? As a father, do you have a place of honor and respect among your children? And so, I'm sure she was called a mother in Israel because of some of these things that she did. She rose as a leader in spiritual matters. That is the first thing that Deborah did. She rose up in a time when there was turmoil. And as mothers, We are called to higher leadership when our families are not well, when a child is sick, when a child is wayward, when financially we are not doing well. And we see that Deborah led Israel in worship, because chapter 5, if you read chapter 5, it is a song that celebrated Israel's victory. So after they had conquered the Canaanites, Deborah and Barak led this song. And we know that songs were usually written during times of victory to celebrate national victories. So it was a song of worship which was led by Deborah, and it was in Barak, and it was most likely written by Deborah. And I want to read it, Judges 5 verse 3, which says, "Hear this, you kings, listen, you rulers. I, even I, will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song." So Deborah led Israel in song. So she rose up spiritually to take a leadership role as a mother in Israel. And I want to ask you, are you willing to emerge as a spiritual leader in your family? Are you rising up as a prayer warrior to pray for your children, to pray for the children in your community, to pray for the children at the school where your children attend? Deborah, we also learned in Judges 4 verse 9 that she spoke prophetically that Jael would get the victory. You know, she was also a prophetess. And I want to say to you today, are you able to foretell and to prophesy into the lives of your children? Are you someone who God can tell about the children God has given you? And even children, not only your physical children, your spiritual children, is God able to speak to you about those children? And I want to encourage us to say, Lord, take me higher, take me deeper. I want to be a prophetic mother. I want to sense things in the spirit. Not everything should surprise you about your kids. Even when they go wayward, you should know that I saw this coming because this person was not in the Lord. Something was not right. Something was fishy. So we should not just be caught off guard as mothers. And we also learn even from Lois and Eunice in the book of 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 that they passed on their faith to Timothy. And so we must emerge as mothers who pass on our faith to our children. Don't take it for granted that, you know what, my children are fine. Have times you pray with them and for them. And take it seriously. And then the second thing is Deborah rose as a mother in Israel because she was a judge and leader in civilian matters. We hear that Judges 4 verse 5 says, she would sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites would go to her for judgment. So she was a leader in the marketplace. And I'm sure that because Deborah was a God-fearing woman, she was also including spiritual wisdom when she led in the marketplace. When she was a judge, she used that wisdom. And as mothers as well, when we go out there in the marketplace, yes, you might be a lecturer, yes, you might be a marketing manager, whatever you do, but we need God to help us in the marketplace to speak life, to speak hope in those situations. You might not be called mother by that person, but when you speak with the voice of a mother, and you make a difference in the lives of people around you. Amen. And then the third point is she rose up with a nurturing spirit. Because when you speak about a mother, you speak about someone who is concerned about her children. And most likely, Deborah was called a mother in Israel because she was concerned about the well-being of Israel. So her concern went beyond her own family, and it went to the concern of Israel. So she was a nurturing person. She loved Israel, and she took it in. She said, you know what? I'm going to do my best to nurture and to bring peace in this land. And I want to ask you, are you willing to go the extra mile to nature people? Because I said when I started, mothering is a spirit. You can choose to have the spirit of mothering. And we need to be those who are concerned beyond our own children to care about others. Many people in our communities are orphans, and they need the love and care of mothers. Another aspect, if you are a nurturing mother, are you willing to discipline your children? Because the word of God says, the Lord disciplines those he loves. So if you love your children, you don't just spoil them. You actually say, you know what, I need to train them. Because the word of God says to us parents, train up a child in the way he should go. We are supposed to train them up, which means we are not supposed to baby them. To say, you know what, you can do what you want. No, we need to train them. And lastly, Deborah rose up and birthed new things. If you read Judges 4, verse 6 to 10, it says, she sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, you can put the verse, I think, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go gather your men and Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun. And I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you not go with me, I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. You can go and read further because of our time. But here we can see that Deborah instructed Barak to fight Sisera, Jabin's commander. But for some reason, Barak didn't want to go without Deborah. He did not want to go alone. And the likelihood is that Barak was fearful. He was afraid that he was going to be defeated, because we said these people had kept Israel captive for 20 years. But Deborah showed courage and was willing to go with Barak. She didn't say, you know what, I'm not going. She said, I'm going. And we know that when the Canaanites were defeated, that was the start of peace for Israel. And the actions that Deborah displayed were courageous, because she could also have said, you know what, I'm a woman. I don't need to go. But she was like, you know what, I am going. So she took a leap of faith and did something that was out of the norm, maybe for a woman to do. But she said, you know what, I'm going to do it. And sometimes I've realized that as mothers, we are fearful. When your child is going to university, you are fearful. Oh, what is going to happen to that child of mine? When they are going to boarding school, you are so scared. Oh, what is going to happen to my son? Oh, is he going to survive? Your kid starts a new job. You want to hover over them. Oh, what is going on at work? Can I take you there to work? Do you need transport? You know, we want to be like that. We are fearful. But Deborah wasn't fearful. Maybe Barak was, but she wasn't. And I want to say to us mothers, we need to have faith over fear. Because a lot of us have lived for a long time in a place of fear, where we are scared to say, what is going to happen to my child? You're always thinking negative thoughts about your child. Why don't you start dreaming and saying, you know, I see her going to university. I see her doing well. I see her holding on to her faith. And how does faith come? Faith comes when we are in the secret place. When we choose to say, you know what? I am going to go into the secret place and pray for my kids. I am going to be an example to my children about how to live a godly life. And so I want to encourage mothers to say, don't be fearful. There should be faith over fear as we parent our children. And Deborah was able to birth new things because she was like, you know what, I will go with you. I will go with you, Barak, and you are going to succeed. And we see that with that, they overcame 10,000 men. And that was the beginning of peace in Israel. So in conclusion, God wants to use you. I said, every one of us, God wants to use you. God used Shamgar, amen. God used Jael, whom we might call a housewife. God used Deborah, a leader in the marketplace, if we are talking in today's terms. And so God wants to use us, no matter where we find ourselves. So as we conclude, I want to say to you, rise up as a leader in spiritual matters. Rise up in your calling, be it in the marketplace, if God has called you to be a mother in the marketplace, at home, whether you're a mom who stays at home when you're dealing with your kids, and God wants to use you in your community to make a difference, in your school where your children attend, God wants to make a difference through you. Rise up to be a nurturer of your own children and other children around you. Don't just limit yourself to your two children. Go beyond and start nurturing and start building other children. And rise up and birth new things as a mother. Don't be scared to let go of your children. Don't be scared for your children to start new things. But push them, not in a bad way, but in the right way, so that they become all that God wants them to be. Amen. So as we conclude today, I just want us to maybe pray for mothers specifically. It's Mother's Day. And we say motherhood is a spirit. And maybe you know what areas you are lacking in. We are not all 100%. We are not perfect. We are all a work in progress. But I want you to pray. Maybe you also had a difficult upbringing and you don't have a nurturing spirit. You know you are a tough mother. Yes, you can provide financially, but you are a tough mother. You don't show affection. You don't show emotion to your kids. But I want us to pray, whatever it is, maybe spiritually you need to lead your children to a place where they know God. So, or to let go of your kids and have faith over fear for the future. So I want us to all stand, and for the men in this place, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for the mothers and say, Lord, help our mothers to have a nurturing spirit. And also pray for yourself even as a father and say, you know what, maybe in spiritual matters, I have not done well. Maybe in nurturing, because we also need fathers who nurture the children. Maybe you have not done well. And you say, Lord, help me to nurture my children. Help me to be able to let go and let my children start new things. Amen. So let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness in this place, oh God. We thank you, Father, that you will raise up mothers, oh God, for such a time as this, to be nurturers, oh God, to lead their children in spiritual matters. Father, I pray for the Spirit of God to move in this place. Lord, use us, oh God. Some of us might seem ordinary in the eyes of men, but Lord, just as you used Jael, just as you used Shamgar, who was not an Israelite, just as you used different people to change the course of history, you can use us, oh God. And I pray, Lord God Almighty, that every single person in this place will be used by God. Father, where we need to be more naturers, oh God, let us nature. Where we need to step out from a place of fear to a place of faith, let us rise up from a place of fear to a place of faith. I pray for the mothers in this place. We pray for a mothering spirit, oh God. A mothering spirit where we lack, oh God, where there are gaps in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would use us for your glory. Use us to make a difference in the lives of our children. We thank you, Lord God Almighty. We give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen.